Today's Bible reading is written in the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 14, beginning at verse 22. Jesus walks on the water. Immediately, he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat, by this time, was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "O you of little faith, why do you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The Lord be with you. Let's pray. Father God, I pray that in this time you would wrap us up into your arms and draw us to your heart. And know that in you, through Jesus, we are safe and secure forever. And Holy Spirit, breathe in us your peace in this time, in these times, in Jesus' name. Amen. Our theme today, Jesus is watching out for us. I think if you look back over the last 12 months, there's been some interesting things happen in this country and throughout our world, yes? If you think about this time last year, there were droughts, and then big fires, then floods, and a lot of people impacted by all that. And then earlier this year, this COVID thing, which is impacting hundreds and thousands and millions of lives around the world, taking lives and impacting national economies. The Black Lives Matter movement, some gross acts of injustice have sparked civil unrest, not just in America, but around the world. International squabbles are happening between superpowers, and you probably saw on the TV this week an explosion in Beirut just shatters and shreds the city. Lots of hard things. And when you get a heap of them in a row, it's sort of like dark clouds come over our existence. And if that doesn't impact you, well, then maybe you've got some other issues that have been confronting you and challenging you in these times. It may be some serious health concerns. It may be an illness that someone you love has, or a death in the family. You may be conflicted at the moment with someone who matters to you. There might be a relationship breakdown in your life or a family member's life, and that weighs heavy on you. You may be underemployed or have worries about how you're going to cope financially in the future. You may feel isolated or alone. You may have mental health issues. And then our own personal failures can burden us with a sense of guilt or shame. Or we can still be carrying wounds from hurts of the past that have been inflicted on us. Bottom line is, we are broken people living in a broken world, yes? And when we are overwhelmed with troubles, we often use water imagery or metaphors to talk about or describe how we're doing. Some examples. "Oh, I'm up to my neck, and my troubles seem to be getting deeper." Or, "Oh, I feel like I'm just treading water at the moment. I'm in way over my head. I'm out of my depth and I feel like I'm drowning. I can't cope. I feel like everything is getting is on top of me and I'm getting dragged under. The threat of drowning, it's a good metaphor, isn't it, for all things frightening and overwhelming. I think it is, hey? And it's really interesting because the ancient people of Israel also used this water metaphors. For the ancient people of Israel, you know, the sea or a great big lake was always considered with a sense of foreboding. Underneath the surface of the lake, that was the underworld. You know, the place of chaos and confusion. And one of the things, if you drowned at sea, your last mortal remains were, in a sense, lost to everybody. You couldn't have a proper burial. And if you couldn't have a proper burial in the ancient world, that was considered the ultimate curse. In the Psalms, we find people in deep distress crying out to the Lord using the same imagery. I'll give you some examples. Psalm 69. Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in the miry depths where there is no foothold. I have come into deep waters. The floods engulf me. You know, the whole chaos, it's consuming me. I can't seem to break free of it. Psalm 88, the lament psalm of the Old Testament. The whole psalm is sad, sad, sad. But listen to this. I'm overwhelmed with troubles and my life draws near to death. You, God, have put me in the lowest pit, in the darkest depths. Your wrath lies heavily on me. You have overwhelmed me with all your waves. You sense the pain there, the isolation. Psalm 130, this is a penitential psalm. Out of the depths I cry to you, Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy, for help, for deliverance. In Matthew chapter 8, the disciples are caught in a sudden and violent storm that threatened to sink them. That's not today's reading. It's an earlier one. And you remember, in desperation, they cry out to Jesus, Lord, save us! We're going to drown! And what happened next? Jesus gave orders to the wind and the waves, be silent. And what happened? Dead calm. And you remember the response of the disciples? They were amazed and they said, well, what kind of man is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. Well, we come to Matthew 14 today where Jesus walks on water. And this story also reminds us that in spite of the storms which ambush us and overwhelm us, Jesus is Lord over all creation. All creation. And that he is always watching out for us to do us good. He's always watching out for us and walking towards us to do us good. Right, let's go to this text. After the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus tells the disciples, okay, you get in the boat, and off you go, and then he dismisses the crowd. Because as we saw last week, some bad stuff had recently happened in Jesus' life. In his home village, what happened? They took offense at him and rejected him. And then he heard news about his relative John the Baptist, who had been murdered by Herod. And Jesus just goes away to get away from it. All this crowd turns up and he feeds them, right? Well, after he dismisses the crowd and sends the disciples away, Jesus needs some space to process his grief and to pray. And so he climbs a hill and spends most of the night in prayer. I wonder, while Jesus was on the hill praying, was he watching his disciples in that boat, battling the elements as they struggle to get across the lake? For perhaps 8 or 9 hours, They've been heaving at the oars against the wind and against the swell. I would imagine after that time, they're all tuckered out and yet they've still got a way to go. So Jesus goes out to them, walking on the water. And in the breaking of this misty dawn, the disciples see this figure walking towards them. And they think, oh, it's a ghost. It's an unclean spirit that's come out from the underworld. And they are agitated. The word terasso in Greek, it means greatly disturbed. It's like food in a blender. In other words, they were scared spitless. But then they hear a familiar voice. Take courage, it's I. Don't be afraid. Could also be translated, take courage, I am. Stop being afraid. Now, the Greek words for I am are the same ones of Moses and the burning bush. I am is here. No longer any need to be afraid. Well, imagine their relief. Oh, it's Jesus. Oh, it's okay. We'll be all right. We can start breathing again. Now, some of us have a propensity to speak before we engage our brain. I'm one of those, and Peter's one of those. And Peter sees an opportunity to do something way out of the ordinary. Well, Lord, if it's you, or the same Greek word can mean, since it's you, tell me to come out in the water with you. Now, my question to you is, why on earth did Peter ask to do this? You ever thought about that? Why does Peter ask the question? Did he want to prove himself to Jesus? I don't know. Did he want to show the other disciples what sort of a leader he was? I don't know. Or perhaps it was just the little boy within that just wanted to have a thrill. We don't know. It doesn't tell us why he asked it. But the interesting thing is Jesus allows it. Come on then. Now my question now is, put your hand up if you would have jumped out of the boat. Hands up if you wouldn't have asked the question in the first place. Hands up if you would have got out of the boat. All right, see, we often bag Peter out. But get this. In spite of the wind of the swell, he gets out. He starts walking out to Jesus. And you know, in the history of humanity, no one apart from Jesus, no one else has done it. Peter has. Well, Peter kept his focus on Jesus. Yes, he remains on top of the water. Is that the point of the story, though? That we can handle any problem or storm in life by keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus. Is that the point? I'm not so sure. A couple of things come to mind. First, we need to remember that it's not Peter's ability that enables him to do this, but Jesus' power and authority over creation. Jesus allowed Peter to do this, yes? And second, I wonder whether getting through the storm always depends on our trust in Jesus. Truth is, I fail to keep my eyes fixed on Jesus. And if you're honest, you're the same. You see, the truth is, we're just like Peter. When it hits the fan in life, we find that we cannot always keep our eyes fixed on Jesus because the problems and difficulties loom so large that they seem insurmountable. And we tend to forget God's promise. Hey, I'm with you. You don't need to be afraid. We forget those. We find ourselves overwhelmed and anxious. We stress out. The dread in our gut starts to feel like lead and we sink. And friends, the last thing a person needs to be told when suffering or facing a health crisis or after losing a loved one is this: you'll be right. Just keep your eyes on Jesus. What the person needs more is the assurance, hey, Jesus is with you and he wants to help you through this. What they really need is the presence of Jesus through his followers, you and me, reaching out to them in compassion, coming alongside them in their pain, assuring them of his promises and lifting them up in prayer. Yes? If Peter's safety depended on his efforts to keep his eyes fixed on Jesus, then it was goodbye, Peter. He looks at the swell. He feels the howling wind down his back. In spite of Jesus' earlier words, "Don't be afraid," Peter lives up to his namesake. You know what Peter means? Rock. He sinks. In desperation, Peter cries out, "Lord, save me." And it says immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. That's the good news. Jesus is there. Jesus is reaching out. Jesus catches. Jesus rescues. Peter is not saved because he kept his eyes on Jesus, but because Jesus never took his eyes off Peter. That's the important point of this story. Jesus has his eyes on us. Even when bad stuff is breaking out in our lives, Jesus is always watching out for us and walking towards us to do us good. If you ever find that hard to believe, go to the cross, stand at the foot, and ask yourself what is happening there. At the cross, Jesus is watching out for you and for me, for every person you know and every person on the planet. At the cross, Jesus is taking the blame for all our messed up choices. For all those times we forget about God to do our own thing. For all those times we demand our own way at the expense of others. At the cross, God's arms are open wide and they are reaching out to rescue, to save hurting and broken and guilt-ridden and sin-stained people. Through what Jesus has done on the cross, we are washed and made clean. We are reconciled and brought back into the arms of the Father, and we become his dear, dear children. His resurrection from the dead is proof that regardless of the trials and troubles in this broken world, we have a hope and a future together with Jesus in our Father's kingdom. Amen. And so we get through the things in life knowing that nothing in all creation can ever separate us from the love that is ours in Christ Jesus. In a book called Hammer of God, we had to read it at seminary, there's a story of a young pastor, Fridfelt, who's called to the bedside of a dying man. His name is Franz. And when Pastor Fridfelt gets there, Franz's daughter, Lena, starts talking to her pastor. And she says, "When I got here, I said, 'You are thinking of Jesus, are you not, Father?' And he answered me, 'Oh, I'm not able to, Lena. I can't think any longer. But I know that Jesus is thinking of me. I know that Jesus is thinking of me, even when I'm not able to think of him. He is always watching out for us and over us to do us good. The love of Jesus never took his eyes off Peter, but kept forgiving him, loving him, transforming him, touching countless of people through him, and promoting him to glory. And the same Jesus is doing that for you and for me. In Matthew chapter 8, after Jesus calmed the storm, the disciples ask, "What kind of man is this?" In today's story, they discover the answer. And when they, Peter and Jesus, climbed back into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Friends, this Jesus is with us in the boat. And wherever Jesus is present, he brings his peace. Friends, may Jesus bring his peace into whatever circumstances are confronting you in these days. And may you bring the presence and peace of Jesus to others in their storms. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, what an amazing thing. You show us the heart of the Father, and you show us that we are never lost or alone because you are with us always. Holy Spirit, I pray you would fan this promise into a reality in our hearts and bring your peace where there is trouble and turmoil. For us to know that we are much loved, that we are favored, that you delight in us, and you're holding us in your arms forever. Help us to rest in this good news, Lord, and share the source of this good news with those who need that peace too. And the people of God said, Amen. Well, friends, I invite you to stand as you're able as we worship in singing.